Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In 1994, John Salvi III shot and killed two abortion clinic workers and wounded five others in two separate attacks at Planned Parenthood clinics in Brookline. In response, the state legislature passed a law to keep protesters back, creating a 6-foot floating buffer zone around patients and an 18-foot buffer around clinic entrances.
Then in 2007, Governor Deval Patrick signed a bill that created a firm 35-foot buffer zone around entrances, exits, and driveways of abortion providers. Last week, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a challenge to that law, brought by abortion opponents who claim that the buffer zone infringes on their right to free speech. A federal appeals court upheld the law last January.
Well, joining us now to examine the constitutional challenge to the buffer zone is Martha Davis. She's a law professor at Northeastern University right here in Boston. She was the former legal director of the National Organization for Women's Legal Defense Fund, which was the co-counsel in a 1997 Supreme Court case that upheld clinic buffer zones. And Professor Davis, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Also from Florida, we're joined by Dana Cody. She's the executive director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation, a group that opposes abortion, that filed an amicus brief with the high court urging it to strike down the Massachusetts buffer zone. And Dana Cody, welcome to Radio Boston. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And listeners, we'd like to hear from you. Are buffer zones around abortion clinics a denial of free speech? What do you think? Or are they an acceptable safety measure, a protection for workers and patients at Planned Parenthood clinics? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also join a conversation on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter as well at Radio Boston. And Dana Cody, let me go right to you. In its ruling last January, the First Circuit Court of Appeals said the following: the right of the state to take reasonable steps to ensure the safe passage of persons wishing to enter healthcare facilities cannot be seriously questioned, and that the Massachusetts statute protects the rights of prospective patients and clinic employees without offending First Amendment rights of others. You disagree with that. Tell us why.
Well, I disagree with it because, first of all, the show started with talking about Salvi and shooting people, and that's always brought out, and it brings a really emotional perspective to an already emotional issue. And nobody mentions the fact that a woman was killed at the Planned Parenthood in Chicago this past year, Tanya Reeves. So our clients are on the sidewalk peacefully, talking to women, handing them literature, trying to really give them choice, an informed choice, talking about what their alternatives are. And so the U.S. Supreme Court has held in the Madsen case that consent before approach or some of these buffer zones burden more speech than is necessary. And as time went on, they lowered the standard to a significant government interest. So, for example, if somebody is trespassing, arrest them for trespass. If somebody is blocking, arrest them for blocking or assault or something like that. I think that these buffer zones are a political solution under the guise of trying to protect women. I don't think that you can foresee every conceivable circumstance where somebody might be harmed. And the person you mentioned earlier, while he may have been an abortion opponent, he was definitely not affiliated with the mainstream pro-life community. So I think that generalizations are being used to make it sound like pro-life people are aggressive or violent.
But this is really this is a free speech argument. So let me go to Martha Davis. And one of the arguments against this law, Professor Davis, is that it's okay to single. I mean, the opponents would say it's okay to single out anti-abortion protesters to restrict their rights to free speech in public places. Is that what is happening?
No, I mean, I think it's impossible really to argue that this is content-based as the argument that you posed here. I think one thing I want to say is I think that the people of Massachusetts are respect free speech and that's the baseline from which we start. We all want to ensure that free speech rights of protesters are respected. But the countervailing rights here are the right to have an abortion, which is beyond question. The Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld that. And then also courts have found a right to be let alone. And here we're talking about a 35-foot zone, not blocks and miles. We're talking about a 35-foot zone within which people have a right to be let alone as they go towards the clinic in order to exercise their constitutional right. They are free to leave that zone and interact with protesters who are on the sidewalks and wanting to speak with them. They will see the signs and can hear amplified voices and probably unamplified voices of the protesters. And certainly, the 35-foot zone is from the doorway to the end of the zone, and they can anywhere within that zone be closer to the protesters. Mm. So there's plenty of speech that can take place here.
Well, to that end, in fact, I want to tell listeners that if they go to RadioBoston.org, you can actually see the outline of what that 35-foot zone looks like on the street outside of an abortion clinic not far from a Planned Parenthood clinic not far from our studio. So it's worth looking at. And let's get an idea of what we're talking about. Here's a brief clip from protesters outside a clinic in Cleveland from a few years ago. Protesters are being kept back, but you can hear what they're saying to prospective patients as they drive into the clinic parking lot. Let's just listen.
Leave from this place of death and doom. Abortion is murder. Will you come get some information and find out what they didn't tell you? That abortion causes cancer. Killing your baby doesn't solve anything. The blood of the unborn cries out for mercy. Have mercy on me, that God may have mercy on you.
So Dana Cody, a couple of things I want to ask you about that recording. The abortion opponents are being kept back from the clinic entrance, but even so, it seems that they're very able to express themselves. So how is a buffer zone infringing that right of free speech?
Well, first of all, it's a public sidewalk, and in the United States of America, you have the right to free speech on a public sidewalk with any other issue except abortion. Secondly, if clinics say that having a pro-life presence on the sidewalk is disruptive, then why do they want them 35 feet back where they have to yell? If I'm having a conversation with somebody and I can walk up to them and say, "Hi, my name's Dana, and I'm here to tell you that there is a choice other than abortion." And many of these sidewalk counselors have experienced abortion and don't want women to go through the emotional trauma. And so they very quietly talk to them, offer them literature. If they can do that one-on-one, great. If they have to stand 35 feet back, then they're forced to yell or they're forced to use amplified sound. And personally, as a woman, if I'm walking into a medical clinic and somebody walks up to me and I don't want to speak to them, I don't need law enforcement to have to intervene and say, "Leave this lady alone." I can turn around and say, "No, thank you. I don't want your literature."
So let me get Martha Davis to respond to that. This idea that if they're being, you know, forced to step back like that, being held back, that they're forced to sort of amplify, to yell, and it sort of escalates the whole level around the tension.
I think a good analogy here is to voting. Here in Massachusetts, we have I think it's 150-foot electioneering zone, and that folks who are promoting a candidate have to stay back that far so that people within that zone can go through that zone and then exercise their own constitutional right to vote. And I think this is very analogous. If I want to get more literature about a candidate, I go out to the edge of the zone and talk to the person who's got the literature. I know that they're out there. I have to pass through them to get into the zone, but then I can without interference exercise my right to vote. I'll say the other thing is Dana brought up the fact that this is a medical facility, and I think that actually underscores the importance of a buffer zone. We've got people going in who have a medical issue, a medical procedure that they're going to be undergoing, or they may be going for tests beforehand, And things like high blood pressure are going to complicate those things. And having someone in your face and approaching you who you don't want to have approach you when you haven't consented is stressful. It's going to be creating complications for people.
But what about the idea that that buffer zones are preemptively treating protesters as if they're dangerous? I mean, if I walk through Harvard Square, for example, I'm approached by all kinds of advocates for various causes. Sometimes it's annoying. They approach me. They want me to take leaflets. I can just walk on and say no thanks. What's the difference here?
Mm-hmm. I think, one thing is that, of course, this is a piece of legislation that went through the legislature and was fairly vetted. So this is not an individual private entity that's creating this buffer zone, but we've got a history of violence around abortion clinics, and even here in peaceful Massachusetts, and even if the folks who the mainstream people, as Dana suggested, are committed to peace, that's not the case for everyone. And we've had violence and murder here in Massachusetts. There's arson. There are acid attacks. And what we're talking about is a fixed zone of 35 feet that permits fair law enforcement, so that instead of trying to assess whether or not people have consented, whether or not they're 8 feet from someone who's moving, you've got a fixed zone, you can put it on the street, you can enforce it fairly. And I think it really promotes speech because of that fairness, in a way that something that was, you know, more malleable would not.
And Dana Cody, let me come back to you and sort of get you to respond to Martha Davis's comment about the history of violence. I know you say this is violence that's perpetrated by a very, very small group of people and doesn't represent the anti-abortion movement in a big way. But, I mean, we were looking at the numbers earlier today. Nationwide, since 1977, there have been 17 murders, 41 bombings, 173 arsons, 153 assaults at clinics, 3 kidnappings of abortion providers. That seems to point to a legitimate safety issue that states might want to consider.
Well, I would disagree, and let's back up here. Until abortion became legal, we didn't have this sort of activity on the street. So initially, the court improperly disenfranchised every American citizen to discuss these issues calmly in their legislatures. Even people who support abortion rights agree that Roe is a bad decision. We never used to have this sort of disruption that we're having, for example, now in Texas, where shoes on the other foot. It's people who support abortion rights that are disrupting the legislature because they want to ban certain types of abortion because unborn children can feel pain. And I would analogize this to the same thing in criminal law. You don't arrest somebody without probable cause. You don't convict somebody without evidence. This is the same thing, only in the free speech context. You're taking away the free speech rights of law-abiding citizens based on what might happen, and that is unconstitutional.
Well, listeners, we'd like to hear from you. You've heard the arguments laid out pretty well by our two guests here. Are buffer zones around abortion clinics a denial of free speech? Are they fair? Do they make sense? Are they a reasonable safety measure to take? You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Let's go to Ryan, who's calling from Chelmsford. Hi, Ryan. You're on the air.
How you doing? Long-time listener, for first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, happy to have you. What's on your mind?
I am definitely pro-choice, but I believe that the buffer zones are unconstitutional. I believe there needs to be some sort of safety put in place. But I definitely believe that that the buffer zones do violate our constitutional rights. Like I said, I'm pro-choice, but I do also believe that there needs to be safety, some sort of safety procedure implemented, because there has been a very violent history, a proven history, in regards to this matter.
All right, Ryan, well, we really appreciate the call, and we're going to take your point on board. Move on to one more caller. Let's go to Michelle, who's calling from Wayland. Hi, Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
I'd like to just to say that, I think the buffer zone is not only a safety issue, but in terms of a woman going into a facility, whether it's to have an abortion or not, she is going to have a medical treatment, and she has every right not to be harassed. This is a form of harassment. You know, there's a fine line between free speech and harassment. You know, somebody getting up in your face about, you know, pontificating whatever it is that they believe to be true.
They can't get in your face if they're 35 feet away. And,
right.
You know,
that's why we need that.
Okay, wait, Dana, let's just let the caller finish, then we'll come back to you, Dana. Sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
That's why we need that buffer zone, so that nobody can get up in your face and start talking about what their issues are. That's their issues. That person who's going to that clinic may or may not even be having an abortion. Maybe they're actually going for a checkup for their baby. That's their choice.
All right, Michelle, well, let me get Dana to respond. And Dana, you know, Michelle raises a point that Martha mm-hmm. Davis sort of alluded to earlier, and that is that in 1993, the Supreme Court, which upheld a Colorado buffer zone law, did recognize this idea, this broad right of people to be left alone. And that seems to be what Michelle was talking about there.
Right. And again, as I stated earlier, then say, excuse me, I'm going in for a medical appointment. Please leave me alone. I don't like the fact that people assume that pro-life people are in their face. That may happen once in a while, but it's not typical. And I would challenge people, go to our website and look at a videotape of a pro-life sidewalk counselor who's being surrounded by clinic escorts with signs and not letting him talk to people on the street. Or go stand in front of a clinic and watch what actually goes on day to day. I mean, I have friends that used to support abortion rights when Operation Rescue was prevalent, and they went out with the idea of seeing and proving that, hey, these people are in your face and they're violent. And do you know that some of those people now have changed their opinion on abortion because they saw prayerful, peaceful activity in front of clinics? So again, the United States is a huge place, and there are lots of people in it. And yes, there have been injuries and there have been murders, and we don't want one person to be injured or murdered, born or unborn. And I think that what's happening is when this issue is covered, it's not being covered fairly. I mean, how many people know that there have been deaths in Pennsylvania after children are born, that women were injured there in the clinic, that Tanya Reeves died in the clinic, that there's a clinic in Delaware under investigation for safety violations, another one in Birmingham, Alabama.
So if I could just cut in here, the 35 feet that we're talking about is a figure that was arrived at by the legislature after hearing testimony of the kind that Dana is putting forward here. And so there was a measured consideration of what was appropriate in Massachusetts, what was appropriate for both for law enforcement and given our history of violence and attacks on clinics. And this was the result. And I think it's a result that continues to allow people to express themselves and to offer that speech. We've talked about 35 feet, but that's really, in a way, a misnomer. If you think about the clinic here that we have in Brighton, in Boston, almost everyone who enters that has to come on a public sidewalk and has to walk through the group of protesters and will be 1 feet from them and 2 feet from them at that point. They are protected once they're in the 35-foot zone, mm-hmm. but they have to encounter those folks on the street. And so we're not talking about a situation where people are kept 35 feet back. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that within 35 feet, you have a zone where you can proceed unimpeded to exercise your constitutional right to have an abortion.
Dana Cody, you said that you're concerned about that this issue is often not covered fairly. We're making every effort here to sort of play this down the middle, but I do want to sort of press you on one thing, because you did use a term that really sort of caught my ear. You talked about prayerful, peaceful presence. And mm-hmm. and I'm having a hard time understanding why a prayerful, peaceful presence needs to come within that 35-foot zone. I don't understand what that has to do with being prayerful and peaceful.
Well, I don't think you have to understand it, with all due respect. If somebody is very passionate about what's going on in the country, I mean, remember, as I stated early on, pro-life people were totally disenfranchised when it came to this issue in 1973. It was a terrible decision. Legal scholars on both sides of this issue agreed to that. And so if people are convicted, if they're if they're passionate about this issue and they think that when a woman goes into a clinic that a child's life is ending and that it's possible that this woman could be injured, then if they want to go outside the clinic and pray because that's how they want to express their beliefs, then they have every right to do so. So you say why, and I say why not?
No, I'm saying why do they have to pray within that 35-foot buffer zone? That's what I'm not clear. I completely understand and respect their right to pray and be peaceful.
Why not?
All right, well, we'll leave.
Why not? I mean, the United States has a history of wide open, robust debate in public places, on public sidewalks, in parks, on university campuses, and that right has been upheld in every context.
Well, I would like to hear, Ms. Cody, what the response is to the voting analogy, because I think that's really a counterexample. In voting, we have a history in the United States of violence around voting as well, and the Supreme Court has upheld essentially a buffer zone around polling places in order to protect people's right to exercise their constitutional rights.
Well, I think that's a generalization because I happened to Google that because I saw a comment online about why not we don't have signs by voting places, and that's not necessarily true. It's to the discretion of the person in charge at the polling place, and some people allow signs and some people don't. And again, if violence is an issue, that's why we have a penal code. That's why we have law enforcement.
Let me ask you, Martha Davis, and that this comes from a Supreme Court ruling 2011 on Westboro Baptist Church, 8-1 in favor of Westboro. And Chief Justice John Roberts talks about First Amendment protection and says even hurtful speech on public issues must not stifle public debate.
Right. Well, the case is before the Supreme Court now, and it'll be interesting to see how they divide on this. Mm. We don't know what Chief Justice Roberts' view on buffer zones particularly will be. And here we have a somewhat different situation than the Westboro Church because we do have people here exercising an independent constitutional right, maybe two, because it's both the right to be let alone, the right to privacy, as well as the right to abortion. We do know that some of the justices have taken positions on this in the past, and so it'll be a close decision, I have no doubt. On the other hand, I think there is a strong argument here that this is not the type of legislative provision that is objectionable. It's limited. It strikes a fair balance, and it does not. It is not. It's neutral. You know, it doesn't allow some speech on one side and not on the other side.
Hmm. Dana Cody, there is a federal law on the books, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act, which makes it a crime to use force or intimidation to interfere with access to an abortion clinic.
Right.
Is that a good law? Are you opposed to that law?
Well, I'm opposed to it because I think all of these laws are just it makes this issue more emotional and political. And with regard to FACE, is what I call it, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. I mean, there was a training in Eugene, Oregon about FACE just a few years ago. And their training manual was written by the National Abortion Federation and Feminist Women's Majority. And their numbers, as they were training, showed, talked about all this clinic violence. And they consider people holding a sign or somebody approaching you to be an act of violence. I mean, you've got to look at who's coming up with these statistics. So, and again, the fact that the FBI trains in Eugene, Oregon, and they use Feminist Women Majority and the National Abortion Rights Federation's literature to train, what's going on here? And secondly, the statement earlier that
Dana, we're going to have to wrap this up in about 10 seconds, so I'm going to ask you to just sort of conclude this point because our clock is running down. I'm sorry about that.
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal has sent a case back to the district court because it was not being applied equally. They were only limiting pro-life speech and not
very different case than the one we have here in Massachusetts.
Well,
no, not at all.
All right, well, we're going to leave it there on that disagreement, and I'm going to read one thing that I think you'll both agree. The U.S. Court of Appeals First Circuit in the January ruling said, few subjects have proven more controversial in modern times than the issue of abortion. Obviously, this debate is going to continue. My thanks to Martha Davis, Professor of Law at Northeastern University, and Dana Cody, Executive Director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, we look at the week in sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.